You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Okay, hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I am joined here with Magdela Mascal. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, you are.
It sounds like the name of a famous person to me. Do you get that?
I mean, I kind of feel like because of the alliteration, maybe.
Yeah, it's like a very good name. And it's funny, my last name my whole life was Smith, and now it's Ozaidenli because I've married a Turkish person. And people like lose their minds. Like they don't know how, like they see my name and it's just different from like an American name and they just, does that happen to you?
Yeah.
Is it really annoying? And it's not hard. Your name's not hard to say.
It's so phonetic.
It's so phonetic. But people probably, what, do they just like call you the wrong name?
Oh, yeah. Mandela.
They do not.
Yeah. They just say, a lot of men say Magdela. I don't know why that is. Yeah.
Even though it's an E?
It's an E.
Interesting.
But yeah, once I say it, they get it.
Yeah. Okay. Will it embarrass you? And you can say yes if I read a little bit about, I read a great article. It's linked on your Instagram, actually, so I can't give myself credit for like deep dive research. But do you mind if I just read how this great publication described you?
Sure.
It seems only fitting that a bright stream of sunlight cascades into Magdela's small bedroom, even on the deepest winter day. Her humble space within a rambling Brooklyn railroad house is drenched in color. A lemon-yellow robe hangs on the back of a door, a lipstick red beret on a handle, a flourishing alocasia plant is perched on an eclectic assortment of books, and her own vibrant paintings lean against a wall. If we were to describe Mascal, we'd call her a thinker, but also a communicator, a philosopher and a poet, painter and photographer, a budding ethnographer. She's a thoroughly modern, inherently stylish, and someone who inspires us to look to our roots, as well as advancements in technology, in order to think outside the box. Did you read that? Were you like, whoa?
I like almost cried,
it's
honestly.
Like a beautiful summary.
Yeah, it was, she summarized who I am better than I ever could.
I know.
And also in a way that doesn't seem so like stagnant, like this is how this person is and will always be, but like in a way that felt like she also could tell like what I was aspiring to do and what inspires me. So
yeah, very well done. And it's interesting because what you and I do is very similar. So I do digital marketing and content strategy, but for Viacom, and it seems like you kind of do that like on a freelance basis.
Yes, yeah. And I used to do it for eBay, so I used to work for a pretty large company.
I feel like because we spend so much time on social media, on a computer, on a laptop, because we kind of have to for our jobs, I think that's the reason why I'm obsessed with nature and like disconnecting from it all. And you're also a nature girl.
Yes.
Have you always loved just like being away from everything?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it just comes from me growing up in nature and my dad living in Tahoe. And I think at the time I took it for granted for sure because it was just there and my parents took me there. But then once I moved to San Francisco and then New York and had to figure out my balance, I realized how much I needed to escape and get that back. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting. I think I used to be a shopping and eating person. Like I would want to go to a place where I could shop and where I could eat. So like I loved going to like Milan and Paris and like cities like that. But I'm just like, oh, like, I don't know. I don't even like shopping anymore. Like I just get like bored. Like I'm like, ugh. Like I loved being in Joshua Tree, no service, just like there with the rocks. I love Big Sur.
Oh, Big Sur. So beautiful.
Isn't Big Sur just insane? It doesn't even feel like a real place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, seeing the beach and then also having the mountains is like my dream.
It's amazing, right? And so how has living, you've lived in New York now since NYU.
Yes.
So you've been in New York for like
almost 7 years.
Do you consider yourself a New Yorker?
I don't know.
I think they say, I think it's 7 years to become a New Yorker.
Yeah, I guess I am.
And does the pace of the city stress you out?
Yeah, it does. The pace in that people seem to get caught up in it, and like the pace of like consumerism and like kind of like keeping up with the Joneses kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I think that stresses me out more than like the drive that people have here.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comparing yourself to other people. And like, I remember this now months ago, but like when the Forbes 30 under 30 thing comes out and you feel like every single person, you know, like posts like, oh, are you on the list?
No. Okay. No. I'm like, I'm here. Like, oh my no.
But like, don't you feel like everyone within your, like some, and I guess there are also multiple lists. Like there's not
there's
just one
so many,
list. There's
yeah.
like for every single vertical, there's like under 30. And you can see some of that and feel like, oh, like, why aren't I there? But then it's just like everyone's on their own path and their own journey. But there, it feels like the combination of being in New York City where everyone's really ambitious plus social media can just become a little bit intense.
Yeah.
And it's like nice to get away from that.
Yeah.
And you travel all the time. How to keep your like beauty routine and like your workout regimen and like eat right while traveling is like a challenge, right?
Yes.
How do you kind of navigate that?
It is such a challenge. I have a very basic routine.
Okay.
So it's pretty easy to keep up.
Okay.
I think that's why. But there are, like, my hair is one thing that's
I was just so difficult. Just about to call you out on that, because I was like, because I have natural hair. I have braids now, and I got braids put in after, like, I think, like 6 months of just wearing my hair out. I just needed a break.
Yeah.
Natural hair is very high maintenance.
It's so high maintenance.
Okay, thank you for
especially
saying that.
Especially if you want to take care of it well.
Of course,
I can just let sleep on my hair and then it fall out and, like, turn into a rat's nest. That's fine, but...
Right.
It's not gonna look good.
So how long have you been natural, and like, what's your approach to caring for your hair? Is beautiful, by the
thank
way.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
It's a little bit dry today, but thank you. I have been natural for like 5 years.
Okay.
I think I relaxed my hair before that. I like begged my mom to relax my hair.
Of course, we all did.
Right? Yeah,
we all did.
So, and then I don't know really what happened and why I changed my mind about it. I had an afro when I was in like 7th grade and then relaxed my hair. And then for some reason I wanted to go back.
And so when your hair was relaxed, how were you wearing it?
I was wearing it in a bun, like all the time.
Just like pulling it back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what was that about?
I don't know. I look at pictures of myself with straight hair and I'm like, you look so boring. Like, what were you doing?
Yeah. Well, I know what I was doing. I was trying to be like a white girl, but
right.
But then I went back to natural like 5 years ago, and I basically just like grew it out as far as I could.
Okay.
The natural when it just started until it looked like crazy because half of my hair was natural and half of it was relaxed.
Yeah.
And then I just chopped it off.
Okay. The big chop, as they call it.
Yeah.
And did you go on all the like blogs and the sites and like learn about all these terms and like figure out your hair type and like?
I tried, but I failed.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's like a deep hole of the internet.
Yes.
But it's kind of amazing too.
It is, and I think since then there's actually been even more information
put out.
You know, like when I was researching, it was like a little bit, but it was still hard to figure out like if my hair type was like the blogs or videos that I was watching.
Yeah.
So I kind of just like looked for a hairstylist that like looked trustworthy and had good reviews and just went to them.
Okay, so you went to a stylist.
Yeah.
And do you still go to a stylist or you're doing it all on your own?
No, I did on my own.
Yeah, me too.
I went to a stylist like a year and a half ago to like, I just was not very good at conditioning and moisturizing.
Okay.
So I tried to get like better
techniques. Did you go to Diva Curl?
No, I went to a place on Atlantic Avenue. I'm forgetting the name now.
Okay.
It's pretty well known. Yeah, and they're great, but expensive.
Yeah, it's so expensive.
So expensive.
Yeah, I just do everything on my own. And then I did go to Diva Curl recently to get a cut, and I think they did a good job. They're kind of known for knowing how to cut natural hair. But I couldn't imagine going to a stylist like every other week or what some girls do. It's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice to like have someone to just like braid my hair. Just like natural braid every couple of days so that I can just wear it.
Yeah.
That's why I wish I lived with my mom still.
Did your mom braid hair well?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's so nice.
It's super nice.
And is your approach to like wearing your natural hair more like, my approach is very laid back in that I've stopped trying to make it look perfect and trying to do like flexi rod sets. I can't, it's just never, it's just not going to be that way. So I'm just going to like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Is that kind of your approach?
Yes, totally. I mean, it's really nice when my hair has some great curl pattern.
Right.
It doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
And it doesn't last. Yeah. So, yeah, I just try to just make sure it's moisturized because my hair gets so dry so quickly. Yeah. And that's the, like...
My hair, too.
That's the biggest part of my maintenance.
It's so hard to keep it moisturized. And I also don't, like... I tried carrying a spritz bottle around and I put, like, all these, like, oils in it. Like, I did, like, jojoba oil and water and aloe vera. And I'm like, is my hair more moisturized? Like, I don't know. It's, like, hard to tell. And I also don't ever know... Like, you know when you go to a stylist and they're like, your hair looks good, but your ends are dry. Like, I don't know how to tell if your hair is dry.
Yeah, I just tell by, like, feeling it.
By feeling it?
And, like, how like, brittle it feels when I kind of, like, twist a curl. Mm. And then also, like, over time, from the time I wash and condition it, my curls will separate.
Yes, yeah.
And it just gets a little bit frizzier and drier and, like,
it's
more
like
brittle.
It's like the frizziness. It's
right.
Like, yeah, like, when your hair's really moisturized, your hair, like, clumps together.
Right.
And then...
And that's safe for it, I believe, when it's come together.
Yes, yeah. Have you tried doing, like, a wash and go with, like, gel where you, like, shingle the gel throughout all of your hair? Have you tried that? No.
No. Okay. I get, like, a little bit nervous about wearing my hair out wet. Just from, like, how sick I've gotten in the past.
Yeah, no, you have to definitely dry it before wearing it out.
And so I usually just do when I have a lot of time and, like, I'm just hanging out indoors or something.
Yeah. So what do you do at night? Do you twist it?
No, I just sleep.
Oh, you just sleep. But with a satin scarf, of course.
Pillowcase or scarf.
Pillowcase or scarf. Okay, good. So you don't, like, do anything?
No. If I have a style in, like, braids or something, I, like, tie a tight scarf around. But no, I don't do anything. There was a part of, when I had a lot of free time in my life, I did do twists a little bit. But it's just, like, so time consuming. My hair is really thick and full. Yeah. And, like, to part it and then to, it's just like,
it's a lot. And, like, how often are you washing?
Oh, once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a big reason why, like, I had to get braids was because I'm traveling 3 weeks out of this month. And I work out a lot. And when I was, like, looking at what I'd have to pack, I was just like, I can't do it because how many products go into your wash day? For me, there's, like, a laundry list.
Yeah.
Like,
six,
the leave-in.
Five
the,
or six.
Take me through your wash day.
Okay. So I usually, like, this is the best wash day.
Okay, best case scenario.
Yeah, best case scenario wash day. I will try to, like, wet it a little bit before and put some coconut oil in it.
Okay, pre-poo treatment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I'll get in, and I use a lot of Shea Moisture products.
Okay.
I use, like, this hydrating and one for shampooing. And I usually do two shampoos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you shampoo every time?
I don't
time?
Shampoo every time.
Okay.
But if this is, like, a full...
Like, the full, the like, full clarify, deep treatment. Okay, yeah. We're doing ideal.
Then I'll do twice, because I can feel, like, the grime kind of still in there, especially if I'm working out a lot.
Exactly, yeah. Working out makes it so that you have to, like, wash so much more.
Yes. So I'll wash it twice, and then it's really tangled, so I'll put the conditioner in, and I'll separate it with my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll separate it into, like, four and then tie them and then use my fingers to finger comb each section.
Yeah, okay, good.
And
finger
then, like,
combing is so much better.
Sections back together just to, like, make them stay together. I feel like it, like, makes them more moisturized if they're, like, sitting together.
I think so. Yeah, that makes sense. Scientifically.
And a twist.
Yeah.
And then I leave the conditioner in after I finger combed every portion, and then I'll wash my body and everything as if it's, like, sitting there. And then I'll wash it out.
Okay.
And then I'll get out. I try to wash it out, like, with it still in its twist. It's not in a tight twist, but, like...
Right, so it doesn't get tangled all over again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then get out, put my towel on my head, and then take it off, and I'll put in this, like, leave-in conditioner.
Okay, what leave-in conditioner are you liking?
It's also Shea Moisture.
Also Shea Moisture? Okay,
yeah.
I haven't tried their
leave-ins. It's the same line of the other
ones. Is it the pink and white one?
Yes.
Like, peachy white, coconut... Or coconut souffle, something
like
that.
Yeah, that's exactly the one.
I use the curling cream, and I love it.
Yeah, I really like it. And then that's really it. And then I will put more coconut oil in it. I'll put everyday oil in it, which has, like, a mixture of a lot of different things.
Essential oils,
yeah.
Okay.
And then sometimes I'll twist it.
Sometimes I'll twist it if you're feeling, like, extra credit. But that's what you just named is, like, a lot of work. And to do that, like... even once a week, it's like a chore.
Yeah, it takes hours.
It takes hours of your day, and then you have to think about like going. Like for me, there's something really hard about getting out of the shower and going back in. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like sometimes I want to do like a really like nice deep conditioning treatment for like a few hours, yeah. But I'm like, I just got out. Like, I don't really want to go back in. Sometimes I do, like, an overnight one. But then I read that overconditioning your hair can be bad.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I've heard, that it can make your hair, like, too weak almost if you overcondition it and you don't do protein treatments to balance it.
Interesting.
So now I do, like, a protein treatment once a month, and then I do deep conditioning 3 times a month.
Okay.
So, like, yeah.
I want to look at protein treatments.
Yeah. Yeah. Henna's an amazing protein treatment. Okay. And it, like, you can see a huge difference, but henna is the most difficult and messy and time-consuming. Yeah. It's like you need a day and patience.
My mom would always do that.
Oh, really? Yeah. She did henna?
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
And
she would do olive oil.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Your mom, like,
she
knows
did it
what's
to me.
Up.
Yeah. I just, like, want my mom to do my hair.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And so your family's from Ethiopia, mm-hmm. right? So your parents grew up there. They moved here. They met.
Yes.
They had you.
Yes.
Do you have siblings?
I have 2 siblings, an older brother and a younger brother.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So what have you learned from your mom or even your dad about kind of like beauty in Ethiopia and like how it's different? And like, I mean, they grew up so, like, do you ever think about how differently your parents grew up from the way you grew up?
Yes.
Isn't it mind-blowing to think about?
It's so mind-blowing. And I only know it to a certain extent, you know, like what they tell me. But, I mean, when I see old photos, just like how beautiful and natural their hair was.
Yes.
Is just like the biggest inspiration. And then this like a funny story, like my dad, he had an afro and he would sleep with his head off the side of his bed sometimes because he didn't want to have to deal with it.
That's amazing.
They both had beautiful afros. And they would comb theirs out too.
Like pick it out?
Yeah, which I haven't done.
Yeah. Well, they were also, I mean, a different time. Yeah. Right? Like that they were in like probably young in the 70s.
Yes.
And that was like the whole look then.
Exactly.
Is there anything in terms of beauty routines or, like, beauty treatments that are, like, popular in Ethiopia that we just, like, don't really know about here?
Treatments. I mean, I think they do. There is something. I didn't realize, like, straightening your hair sometimes was good for it.
It is?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I was told. Like, not often to where, like, heat damage can happen.
Yeah.
But often enough where it gets stretched out and can, like, breathe a little bit.
Yeah, I've actually, that's so funny that you bring that up because I was just looking at, like, this natural hair YouTuber that I follow, and she was saying that she keeps her hair in stretch styles because it helps her grow her hair longer because it's not breaking or getting tangled.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so I actually had it straightened when I went to Ethiopia, I had it straightened there. And also the way they do it is just...
How do they do
so
it?
So much more fragile. Like, they don't... Here, when I get my hair straightened, I feel like my hair is, like, being pulled out of my head.
Yeah. And it's, like, everything's too hot.
Everything's too hot.
And you're, like, what are you spraying on my hair?
So much.
What is that toxic?
Yes.
I'm hearing, like, that, like, tss, like that sound.
Exactly.
When, like, I should not hear any sound when my hair is interacting with
heat.
And,
like, all of the steam coming off your head.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. So they just put it in curlers, and you get set. And then sometimes if your hair is, like, too thick where even after curlers it's not, like, laying, then they'll go in and straighten it a little bit. But
that's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I had it straightened for, like, 2.5 weeks and kept it in that. And when I took it out, my hair was, like, when I washed it, my hair was so full.
Really?
Yeah. And the curl pattern was so tight. It was beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're making me, like, want to straighten my hair.
Yeah. But, I mean, not often. You know, I only do it, like, every few months.
Yeah. I had heat damage, and so I'm trying to go a full year without doing any heat.
Yeah.
Heat damage. Have you ever had heat damage?
No.
It's the most heartbreaking thing because it's irreversible.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to cut your hair. And even it's so interesting. Like, I wear my hair very similar length to yours, and I thought about growing it out, and then I just thought about everything I have to do times extra length, and I was like, you know what? I think short is cute.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried, like, have you ever thought about, like, growing yours out?
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to grow.
No, of course it can. Of course it can. It's just
with the right focus and attention. My hair was way longer when I was younger. And
mine, too. Yeah. I look at pictures and I'm like, wow. But also, like, I wasn't using, like, the right oils and stuff. Like, my parents were using, like, Blue Magic grease and, like...
Yeah.
Water but somehow my hair was really long, so I'm like, what am I missing out on?
I don't know. But yeah, braids are the other thing that are, like, beautiful styles that a lot of Ethiopians wear and do it in very interesting ways. yeah, like really, really small kind of cornrows that like last a really, really long time, and the countryside are so beautiful.
So have you traveled to Ethiopia, like, as an adult?
Yes.
You went recently, right?
Yeah, in November.
When I travel, like, I love to see, like, what people are wearing, what they're doing with their hair, their makeup, like, what's going on over there?
Yeah.
And where in Ethiopia were you? Because it's, like, a huge country.
Yeah, I was in Addis, the capital, okay. And then I also went to the northern cities. Mekelle is one, Garalta, and a few more. It was, I traveled a lot while there. But Addis is the biggest city. And then Mekelle was also really interesting because I hadn't been up there and it's really big as well. But yeah, I love looking at the styles too. A lot of the men like are doing the fade thing, but like really short on the side and like really like high and like structured on the top.
That's cool.
And then also like the kind of dreaded style, but less like refined pieces, kind of like the Basquiat thing.
Okay, kind of like what is his name from The Weeknd? You know who I'm talking
yes.
about.
Yes, Abel.
Yeah. The Weeknd. We all know who the Weeknd is. Yeah. Before he cut it off. Yeah.
What else? A lot of women straighten their hair. Yeah. There. It's like also kind of like a class thing.
Really?
For sure. Yeah.
So like straight hair is seen as like more affluent.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that sad that that's like a worldwide phenomenon? But I think that there probably...
There is a change happening with like a younger generation.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing a lot more natural hair in women than I had in my previous trips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Growing up, was it cool that your family was from Ethiopia? Was it like considered cool or was it like you're so different?
It was not definitely not cool. it wasn't cool. No one really cared, but it was also not, I don't think I was othered for being Ethiopian. I think I was just othered for being black.
Right. But amongst black people, did you feel othered for being Ethiopian?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Growing up, very unsolicited, people would tell me that I looked Ethiopian and I'm like, do I look Ethiopian? And I did my 23andMe test years ago. I'm like 0% Ethiopian, literally 0% Ethiopian. It's like all West African. But I always like found it to be a compliment because I think Ethiopian people like generally are known for being very attractive, right? One of the supermodels that I loved for forever, Leah Kabedi, is Ethiopian, but it's like the high cheekbones, like beautiful skin, very like athletic, mostly like slim framed.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that like stereotype of Ethiopian people being beautiful is rooted in some reality?
I mean, I do because I think we're beautiful people. But I also, you know, I think that also comes from a liking to quote-unquote European features being beautiful.
Are Ethiopian features considered closer to European than
that's
like
what people say?
Interesting.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because Europeans came after Ethiopians as human beings.
Like, right. So why that like why is it considered this proximity towards like a Western beauty standard when it's like we've looked like this before you even came on the scene?
Exactly. And then also you don't want to, you know, it doesn't mean that any other African is less beautiful.
Right.
So it's a hard thing when people say that, to be honest. Although, like, I do think we're beautiful. I don't think we're, like, the most beautiful.
Right. But it's interesting because now I feel like there's this, like, desire to be, if you are white, to look less white. Right?
Yeah. I don't know if that's, I feel that, but I always question if that is just because we live where we live.
Right. We're like in this New York City bubble where like it's cool to be different. Yeah. And
I don't know. But no, I mean, there's our very prominent celebrities who are right now trying to look less white who are white. So
pretty much I can't think of anyone that's like in the mainstream media that's like Jessica Simpson, Britney Spears. Like I'm thinking of like when we were younger. I can't think of anyone that fits that American mold that's popular now. No. Can you? It's like Selena Gomez, Camila. Cabello, I don't even know if that's how you say her name. The Weeknd, Gigi Hadid, Bella Hadid. They're like very like exotic looking, I guess.
Yeah.
The Kardashians,
yeah.
Beyonce, Jennifer Lopez. I'm trying, like, who's popular and like white?
Yeah.
I'm like really
only
struggling.
People
to
who
think.
Have been around for a while.
Yeah, like Taylor Swift.
Right.
And no one cares about her. I mean, honestly, no one cares about her. I mean, no one's really like looking for Taylor Swift's next look. But that American beauty look, I feel like, is very passe.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I think it I think it's good because we need more representation, but I hope it's coming at all levels and not just like aesthetically and not actually like within the companies and, you know, all those type of things.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is very important. You do content strategy stuff, and this comes up a lot for me around like, okay, it's Women's Month. Like, what's our post going to be?
Yeah.
And part of me is like, yes, great. But then also there's this like commercialization of like the feminist movement.
Yes.
That feels very uncomfortable for me. And when you see brands doing it, it almost feels like, here you go. Like, forget about equal pay. Like, we made a KFC brand spokesperson as a woman now.
Exactly.
So be happy, ladies.
Yes.
It's like a very difficult line to toe.
Yeah, it's hard. It really actually angers me, to be honest, when I see a lot of companies and a lot of brands using diversity, inclusion, and equality as marketing techniques and not as ways to guide their actual like company practices and guidelines and structures.
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess if it is part of their practice, then they should market it to let people know that it's part of their practice. I love the brand Reformation. I really admire them. I think they do great work. And I saw that they they teach English classes for all of the workers there that are mostly like Mexican immigrants. Yeah. And then they also like give them massages. They have like Massage Wednesday. Like, and I was like, wow, like what a nice company. People were saying in the comments like, just do it, don't post it. And I'm like, they do this already, so they're allowed to post about it.
Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't bother me so much. It's more when people like use a model for representation or use sustainability in their like marketing campaign as a word, but
aren't really
what
about
are they
that
doing
life.
That? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you look at like people who work at the company, it's still predominantly, you know, male or Caucasian and that kind of a thing.
And you work with dope companies. Like, I see you work with Outdoor Voices.
Yeah.
I, like, stand for Outdoor Voices. I think they just do, I mean, the CEO is, what, like, 28, 29, Taylor? She's, like, so young. I love all of their leggings.
Yeah.
All of their color combinations. Like, I'm obsessed with Outdoor Voices.
Yeah, me too. I really like their message and just, like, promoting people and to get outside and to be active for fun and not for competition. And it's really, like, less about... I mean, you can do it for sport and you can be a professional athlete and that's great, but you can also just do it to have fun.
Right. Do you work out? Are you like a workout girl?
I don't think I'm a workout girl, but I do work out.
Okay. What do you do? What's your thing?
I run like once or twice a week.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot.
I think it's like pretty good. Yeah. And then I do yoga. I'm really, that's one of the things that falls off when I'm traveling a lot.
It's hard.
Yeah. So my practice isn't so great, but I try to do it like once or twice a week at least at home, and then go to a class like once a week, but sometimes it doesn't happen.
I feel like I'm not patient enough for yoga. It takes patience. Like, I get really bored. I do Pilates.
I used to be like that, but something changed. I love Pilates too.
I love Pilates.
Yeah, I need to do more Pilates. I need my core to get back in shape.
And a bit yoga. The reason why I want to do yoga is because I want to be more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to an acupuncturist recently, and she was telling me, she was like, it seems like you like hold your breath. And I was like, what are you talking about? I don't hold my breath. And she was like, this is like, she like basically taught me how to take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And then she was like, how often do you breathe like that? I'm like, that was the first time. Like, she was like, inhale like 3 seconds and like push your belly out and exhale. And she's like, how often do you take breaths like that? And I was like, never. Like, but in yoga, they teach you that that's like yoga breathing. That's like how you're supposed to breathe multiple times a day.
Yes, yeah. And it really is something you have to learn.
Right.
Yeah, like to remember to breathe when you're doing certain things. I will catch myself like taking photos and not breathing.
Holding your breath, right?
Yeah.
It's like a thing.
Yeah, so yoga really does help me to remember to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, I was always holding my breath through poses.
How long have you been doing yoga?
A while, like 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
So you're like... like a yoga master.
I don't know. I'm not a master. I would love to do a teacher training, actually. I was just talking about that with one of my friends. Just for my own. I don't think I would actually want to become a teacher, but just
Just
my own
to like
practice.
Learn.
Yeah.
Where do you do yoga?
At home. And then also, I like Sacred.
Okay.
In Bed-Stuy.
Okay.
And then I also just like to get the like new student discount and like travel around to different studios. Yeah,
just different studios. Yeah. That's the best.
Because there's so many.
Yeah, there's so many in New York. And then when you're at home, do you do like a YouTube video? Like, do you fault? Like, do you, what do you do?
Sometimes I do, and I just like search a random one. But most of the time, I just kind of do my own flow.
Okay, because you've been doing it for so long now, now that you like know the poses and stuff. I find that like I need a class to push me to do what I need to do.
Yeah.
Because at home
I need it sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yoga is like, I want to get into it. I want to be more flexible. That's a big thing. I'm so, like, I can't do, when I see people doing a split, like I take a lot
Oh, well, that's intense. Yeah.
I know. But even more simple yoga poses, even just sitting like in lotus position with like your knees touching the mat, like I can't do that. It takes practice.
Yeah, you start, you'll get there.
Yeah, I did a Bikram yoga class and I was like so flexible.
That is so intense.
I was so flexible and I was like, oh yeah, it's 120 degrees in here. Obviously my muscles can like stretch. Do you do Bikram ever?
I haven't done Bikram, but I've done hot yoga, which I think is just like...
It's like the same thing, pretty much.
The same thing, but I think Bikram is just like a, you do like certain poses over and over again, I believe.
Yeah.
I did hot yoga at Sacred in Bed-Stuy. It was the first time I ever did hot yoga. It was intense.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the room gets... Like, did you do it in the summer or the winter?
It was in the summer. Yeah.
It was in the summer? I feel like... So I did hot Pilates, actually, in the winter. Really? And there was something about doing it in the winter that I liked more than doing it in the heat of summer. Because I feel like you just need to, like...
get a relief from it after. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did you like it when you did it, though?
I did. But... like I had to make sure that I was like very hydrated for like days prior.
No, that's so real. I'm so happy you're mentioning that.
And there's a lot of and then making sure that your day is like not like jam packed afterwards. Like you have the time to like figure out how you're doing, how you're feeling, like get back into, you know, like
it's
going
a Saturday.
On with your
routine. It's a Saturday. Right. It's not like a before work thing.
No,
it's like a Saturday at like 11 a.m. and then you have a very chill evening thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think a lot of studios will say this, like, not to wear fragrance, but, like, when you're sweating that much, like, you can't have, like, perfume and, like, fragrance on, because it's just...
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that you have to think about before going into one of those spaces.
Were you, like, smelling a lot of other people's...
Yeah.
Oh, I
was.
No.
I was like, this is just... there are just too many smells
in here. Yeah. That would drive me crazy.
Right? Smells? Yeah, that's another reason why I'm, like... not afraid to get pregnant. I shouldn't say I'm afraid to get pregnant. I'm so looking forward if I'm like gifted enough to have the opportunity to be pregnant and bring life into this world. But I'm so sensitive to smell non-pregnant. And I hear that when you're pregnant, like smells just make you get... I mean, we live in New York City. We smell tall.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm so sensitive to it that I feel like...
it's going to be, yeah.
It's going to be intense. Yeah. Have you talked to your mom about what it's like to be pregnant?
Yeah. But she was such a natural... I think she was just, like, a natural...
She was, like,
one of those people who was just born to be pregnant and have children.
Yeah, she's like, I loved it.
There was nothing bad she could say. Everything bad was, like, afterwards.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms. In terms of like post-pregnancy caring for yourself or like raising kids?
Raising kids.
Raising kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing that, like, it came up in my recent acupuncture session. She was like, so, you know, you're 28. When are you thinking about having kids? And I'm like, it's on the agenda. No date is set.
She really just asked you straight up?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she asked me straight up. I think a lot of people go to her for, like, fertility stuff.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, she just asked straight up, and I was like, it's going to happen. I don't know when. But I do think about, like, one, like, I think I am physically afraid of what it's like to carry a child.
I am physically afraid as well.
And then also to push it out.
Yes.
Like, the actual pushing it out. And yeah. That's very scary to me. And then I also think about when I come home, and let's just say my husband's not even here. Like, I come home after a long day of work, and I just, like, put on Netflix. I, like, put something stupid on TV. I, like, make dinner, and I'm like, this is the maximum I can handle at this time.
Yeah.
And then if I think about having, like, a baby at home to, like, also care for, it just feels really overwhelming.
Yeah.
But, I mean, women do it, and they've done it for centuries, mm-hmm. So.
I think you just, your whole life just gets reprioritized, you know?
Yeah.
And if you are, like, and that's the only reason why I remind myself that I do want to have kids. It's, like, small part of me is that, is the, like, this beauty and love that you will never feel if you don't. Just, like,
yeah.
This kind of love that's just so unique to bringing a life into the world. And then doing it, whoever you're doing it with, is a whole different type of relationship and love. Whatever that looks like for every individual.
Yeah.
You know? That's what is, like, and when my mom, just how beautiful my mother was, also makes me want to have kids, but also scares me because I don't think I'd be as good of a mother as she was.
I mean, pregnant women do have, like, a glow. Like, apparently, like, all this great stuff happens when you're pregnant. It just, it kind of scares me.
Oh, it completely terrifies me, yeah.
So, let's talk about the beauty products that you're absolutely obsessed with, or, like, beauty routines or rituals that you just think are, like, couldn't live without.
Yeah. So mine are, yeah, definitely not products, but oils. I'm obsessed with all kinds of oils.
Okay. Which, let's talk about, I'm, like, ready to go deep on oils.
Okay.
Which oils do you like?
So I love coconut oil.
Obviously.
Hair, body.
Everything.
Everything.
Life.
And food, eat it. Yeah.
Okay.
All the things. Yeah. And then I do love Everyday Oil. I bought it, like, it's a brand
name.
And I'm not going to remember all of the oils in it, but it's all just pure essential oils, and it's, like, 10 of them.
Oh, nice.
And it smells delicious.
Okay.
It's, like, my luxurious oil that
I,
like, pump and, like, use once on my face.
Amazing.
And then I use doTERRA oils for, like, aromatherapy.
Oh, nice.
I have different ones, different blends for different moments and energies that I need, but, like, when I need motivation or calm, I'm, like, peppermint. Ooh. Citrus, yeah.
Yes. I'm really into, like, citrus and, like, lemongrass oils for, like, energy.
Yes.
And then, like, to calm down, I'm, like, lavender and frankincense are, like, my two.
Yeah.
I love frankincense
oil. Yeah, lavender is an obsession, too. I kind of had to, like, take a break.
Lavender oil is low-key addicting.
It's addicting.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, lavender, like, tea.
Yeah.
And ice cream. I just, like, love it in everything.
Lavender and rose also.
Yeah, rose.
Like, I like rose in desserts,
yes.
But I also love the way it smells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so oils.
Have you always been into, like, aromatherapy and essential oils, or did you have to, like, learn to get into it?
I had to learn,
yeah.
But I think it came with, I mean, my mom has always been into oils.
Okay.
Yeah, like, she would always be doing olive oil treatments on her hair and using lavender oils. Mm-hmm. And then aromatherapy recently, I realized how I don't like scents, like perfumes.
Yeah, you prefer, like, a natural.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that was, like, kind of my alternative. And then I started getting into, like, the actual, like, healing properties beyond just, like, smelling good.
Yeah, there's so much. It's like, such a deep subject. And there are all these, like, courses you can take and books. And, like, I had to kind of, like, educate myself on it because I didn't really know.
Same.
All the stuff that, like, oils do.
Yeah.
But now I, like, always travel with frankincense oil and lavender oil as well. And, like, when I'm, like, I'll be on a flight and it'll be, like, horrible, and I'll just, like, put, like, lavender oil on my wrist, and I'm just like,
yeah, it's so nice. And peppermint oil actually really helps with my headaches and migraines.
Really?
I'll, like, rub it here and then rub it on my temples.
Really?
Yeah.
So peppermint oil on your temples when you have a migraine helps. Essential oils, I'm, like, all about it. Okay, any other beauty things you're obsessed with?
So, also obsessed with hydration.
Yes. Yes for hydration.
Just, like, yeah. But, like, I mean, specifically for beauty, I just, my face is, like, just so clear when I actually stick to a certain amount of hydration.
How much water do you drink a day?
I have this bottle that's a liter, and I try to drink, like, 3 of them.
Whoa. Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you add things to your water, like cucumber and like lemon slices?
Okay. Yeah. Especially in the like cold flu season.
Yes.
And then lemon in the morning always makes me feel good in my water.
Yeah.
I
add ginger when I'm feeling fancy, but the new thing that I'm reading about is like adding like raw like turmeric slices into your water, which I really want to try. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, ginger I like. I'm trying to think of what else. I like to do petals, like flower petals.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you can add rose petals to water?
Yeah.
I've never tried that.
Like edible flowers. It just makes me like feel funner when I'm drinking it.
Yeah. Oh my God. I like have to try that. That's amazing. Did we get
the
to
last? Yeah. The last.
Yeah. Last thing you're obsessed with
is sweating.
Sweating. Yes. Oh my gosh. I sweat so much.
You do?
But like not in a good way. Like I sweat a lot at night.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. It's horrible.
So
sweating for working
sweating out. Sweating for working out or like going to the sauna in the same room.
Yes.
Like getting toxins out in that way or like hot yoga.
Yeah.
But sweating.
Intentionally.
Intentionally sweating really helps me to clear my skin, like release toxins from my body.
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, it's a part of my beauty routine for sure.
So do you go to like saunas and steam rooms?
So
I'm
trying to find one.
Yeah.
Because it's hard here in California. We belong to a gym, like, as a family,
aww,
and it was so nice
so
because
cute.
They have saunas and steam rooms, and you can go, and we would go every day. It's, like, just a routine.
It's very Finnish of you. Like, in Finland, they all have saunas in their home, and, like,
And it's, like, a big Eastern medicine practice, you know? So, here I haven't found a great routine, to be honest, but, like, I try to work out, but I would love to find a steam room that...
Yeah, I mean, there's a steam room at... Soho House. There's one at Equinox that I use sometimes.
I didn't even know that there was one at Soho House.
Yeah, at the one on 14th Street, at the Cow Shed, like, spa section, there's this steam room that you can just, like, you don't even have to have an appointment. You can be like, I just want to use the steam room.
Oh.
So I'll do that sometimes. And then there's this amazing place downtown called Gravity East Village where they do infrared saunas.
Oh, yeah, I haven't tried that yet.
I
want to.
I feel like I'm very, like, I'm at a tipping point where, like, I can get, like, sucked into, like, the new wave, hocus pocus. Yes, like, infrared light. And then part of, like, the skeptical part of me is, like, sweating is sweating. Like, does it really make a big difference? But apparently it does.
Yeah.
And there's, like, evidence to prove that it does, so I'm not going to be so skeptical. I did it. I didn't see, like, this. It wasn't, like, life-changing.
Yeah, But it is what those things, I think that you do have to have, like, a very consistent routine of it to actually see the effects.
Yeah.
But, yeah, one of my friends started a kind of, like, holistic ritualistic care center called On and On in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Oh, my God.
And they've kind of, like, combined these, like, kind of new wave treatments into one place. So they have, like, infrared saunas and chirotherapy and... other things that I'm not going to remember the names of, but, like, all in one place and, like, a ritual around it and a subscription around it, which is really nice because it doesn't really exist
elsewhere. That's nice. I would love that,
like,
in
a kind
New
of
York.
A gym atmosphere, but just for that stuff.
Just for, like, wellness treatments? That's actually, like, a brilliant business idea.
Yeah.
And I would totally subscribe to that just to try, like,
they should come
things.
To New York, but...
Yeah, they should. I love Hanalei.
I haven't been.
It's so amazing.
I want to go soon.
It's in Kauai, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We, like, stayed in a house there, and I was... Because I had always gone to Hawaii, and I went to Maui or, like, Honolulu.
Same. Yeah.
And then I discovered Kauai, and I was like, whoa, this is, like, real Hawaii, and it's all nature, and, like, there's no touristy crap.
Yeah.
And...
It looks beautiful.
Okay, what are the beauty trends that you're, like, just totally over?
I am tired of... face masks being, like, the bumper sticker for self-care.
I'm dead. The bumper sticker for self-care. That's so real, because people will be, like, face masking, like, living my best life.
Yeah.
And you're, like...
Like a really radical, like... Yeah. It's just... Yeah, that's what bothers me.
But I think, like, we talked about this earlier. I think that you nailed it when you said it's, like... Because it photographs.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the way to, like, telegraph that you're taking care of yourself is to take a picture of yourself doing a face mask.
Yeah.
So do you think that's why they're so popular now?
Oh, for sure.
So it's like the rise of the self-care movement plus Instagram equals face masks. Wow. That's, like, kind of disturbing. It's like...
Yeah, I think that is it.
I'm kind of annoyed that self-care is a trend. Like, I don't like it being talked about as a trend. Because hasn't it been part of, like, history for thousands and thousands of years, this idea of beauty and ritual and taking care of yourself. I don't know why it's now being framed through this lens of being a trend.
It bothers me because of, like, of course, just like when consumerism gets wrapped up in it, but and the actual ritual and histories of it gets forgotten. Mm-hmm. But it is nice that we are reminded that, like, in this time of, you know, you can get wrapped up in what's going on in the public sphere and it can really do damage to your health. Yes. And to your mental state. Yeah. Like, it is good to be reminded that yeah. you can take a moment.
Yeah. It's crazy that, like, Trump's been in office for as long as he has. There is a lot that we need to do to just cope with. Mm-hmm. And, like, everyone has different strategies. Right. Some people, like, turn, like, for me, like, I turn my notifications off on, like, CNN, like, don't have it. Yeah. He's blocked on Twitter. Like, yeah. don't want that as part of my universe. And then I also, it's interesting, I watch the news a lot less. I read the paper. Mm-hmm. Like, we get the New York Times on the weekends. We read that. I don't, like, the news, like, the television news just, like, riles me up in a way that it feels very unhealthy.
Yeah. Broadcast television is trash, in my opinion.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had it since, like, leaving my parents' house. I've never had, cable. But when I do watch it, I'm just like, what? They just repeat the same thing, yeah. like, over and over again?
Yeah.
And they don't cover any actual other events internationally. Yeah. And then also what really bothers me, and the reason why I want to do more journalism myself, is that there aren't enough, like, positive stories being told. Like,
totally.
There's so much good shit happening.
Totally.
And there's no platform for it.
They just, like, don't talk about it. I agree.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, now let's segue into some negativity. What other beauty trends do you hate?
What other beauty trends do I hate? I don't know. I mean, I've never really liked the, like, overdrawn faces. If it's not, like, for
a drag competition. Yes. Yeah.
If it's not, like, theatrical and it's not a performance.
Yeah.
It's
getting out of control.
It just gets out of control. Yeah.
I honestly think, I mean, you're stunning. Do you wear makeup?
Sometimes. Right now I'm not.
Okay.
Because if I wear makeup, it actually, like, really bothers my skin.
Okay.
If I wear it a lot. So I try to just let my skin breathe, especially in the winter.
Yeah.
But I do wear makeup sometimes. I have a lot of fun with makeup now. I like to wear, like, fun colors and eyeshadows and lipsticks. And, it's nice to, like, have this new relationship with makeup. Because when I was younger, I definitely wore makeup for a very different reason. It was, like, to cover up, like, my dark circles, which are just, like, very Ethiopian. And
no, you're beautiful. I think that it's interesting to think about makeup as self-expression rather than, like, correction, right? What colors do you experiment with? I'm, like, so I'm not shy about color, but especially when it comes to eyeshadow, every time I've tried to do color, I'm like, no. But I really? Want to try more. Yeah.
So shadow, like powder shadow is hard for me.
Okay. It can get very, like, chalky.
Really chalky.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Okay.
And I don't know, sometimes the colors just, like, don't work on my skin tone and maybe yours,
right,
too.
Right, yeah, maybe that's why I'm having issues.
I will put lipstick on and then use the same lipstick on my eyes.
I need to, why haven't I ever thought of that? That's so, like,
really
obvious.
It's just, like, I can change how much I'm putting on or that something like that. I don't know.
That is, like, a brilliant tip.
Yeah. That's really
fun. That's a brilliant tip.
And then, like, eyeliners I love, too.
You create, like, cohesion, right? Okay. Lipstick, then eyeshadow. Okay.
Yeah. And I do like glitters. I like what you're wearing, like the shimmer
now. Thank you. Yeah.
I like to do that sometimes. Like that's a kind of along with my skin tone.
Yeah. Yeah, like browns I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable in, like, the brown area. but I love, and you wear a lot of color.
Yeah.
And you do a great job wearing color. Have you ever, looked into, like, color theory and, like, what colors complement your skin? Or you just, like, kind of know at this point?
Yeah, I haven't listened to color theory.
I just read a book on color theory, so it's, like, top of mind.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
It was not written with black people in mind, so I'm not going to recommend it on this podcast. I was like, so if you're black, what's the deal? Because I'm trying to, you know, like, there's all this science about, like, your undertones and, like, and I think I've kind of figured it out based on trial and error, but I know that there's a science to it. I want someone to, like, write about it with people with melanin in mind.
Yeah.
Because it's so interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have put something on and been like, this doesn't look good, and taken it off, but I don't think I've actually, like, documented what that was.
Yeah. Well, we talked a little bit about commercialism, and I feel like we have this in common, that, like, I'm just so over everyone telling women every single day that they need to buy something new or have something else to be up to date, to live their best life, to like make the most. It's like we have everything that we need, and then you just pile up all of this crap. Really, it's just junk.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think kind of made you aware that you didn't want to be part of this like consumerist culture?
I've never really investigated that, actually. I mean, I think that growing up, like, my parents were all, I mean, I think it came from like not having so much money, but also just being, just knowing how much they actually needed in their lives as children, that we didn't like buy that much as kids growing up. Like, we shopped at Goodwill. I loved wearing my brother's clothes, so I would just like invade their closets. And then when we were like old enough where we weren't like growing every day, you know, my dad would invest in getting something for us that we'd have for a while. But I think it came from that a little bit. And then also the pride that like my mom had when she would go to her closet and like pull something out and she would tell me, you know, like, I got this in Paris when I was 22 and I still have it. And like, it was this moment of pride. And like, she had the story to go along with this piece. And she still had pieces from her mom. And so I think there's that when it comes to clothes. And then also just visiting in Ethiopia, you can see like the strange like idealization that I've only been to Ethiopia and South Africa, but also reading about other countries in Africa that they have with like American celebrity consumerism because it's fed to them by Western media. And but that same shit is like literally being sent back to them in waste, like on their shores, just dumped. And like just seeing that.
That's like a really disgusting relationship. Yes,
exactly. And there's just such a distance that most people have with like where they're spending their money and like the actual production cycle of these things.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
For me, it was moving like 3 times in 1 year. Like when I was moving from like California to London, then I moved like twice in London, and then I moved back to New York. And it all happened within a very short time period. And I just realized like how much crap that I had.
Yeah.
And I made a decision now, I guess, like 4 years ago to like never shop at Zara or H&M. And it's tempting.
Good for you.
Because I walk by and I'm like, that's a cute little crop top. Yeah. I could wear that tonight.
Yeah.
But I just resist because I realized that when I was moving, the things that I was giving away or putting, it was just all the like fast fashion, top shop. And I think that that's like a very simple pledge people can, because even if you don't have a lot of money and you just want like something cute to wear for that night, that weekend, we're all in that position, but you can go to a Goodwill.
Right.
Especially if you're like in a city like New York, like
so many
Beacon's Closet, you can find like The Row and like Lanvin for like $20, like literally $20.
You can go on your phone and find it.
Right.
At a vintage shop on Instagram.
It's hard. I see things from
Zara
and like Koss. I love Koss. I'm like, oh, that's really cute. I want that. But I just, I just like, that's like my one thing that I try to avoid.
Good for you. Yeah. I think it is like, you know, knowing where you're spending your money, but then it's also just like realizing how much you don't need.
Yes.
And how much we are like honestly brainwashed to think that we, what makes us happy is like being able to buy something.
Right.
You know? And letting that go is, like, really freeing in all senses. Just, like, not having this attachment to, like, material objects as a measure of happiness.
That's so real.
Yeah.
Like that's so, it's something I just have to, like, constantly remind myself of.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy. Yeah.
Especially, like, while I'm getting targeted on Instagram by these cute brands. I'm like, oh, those are cute. Like, those hoops. Yeah, no, it's, but it's, like, yeah, we have everything we need.
We do.
I'm so happy you said that. Okay, amazing. So you have this like very, you have this very unique and like good sense of personal style.
Thank you.
And well, two things. One thing I'm noticing that a lot of girls that actually work in like the digital media space are actually really cool and could probably work in fashion. I used to work in fashion and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't do this anymore.
I attempted.
Yeah. It's once you realize the way that you're going to be treated, just there's a series of awakenings that happen before you escape and realize that all decisions are made with data and it's just smarter to work in like a digital space. Yeah. But but you have one thing that I like about your style, just from what I've seen on Instagram, you have very unique style. And I think that we're living in this weird era of everyone just copying each other. And like you're in Brooklyn, like you're online, you're exposed to a lot of images, but you still manage to have something that feels very like unique and specific to you. And I'm wondering like how you developed your personal style.
I don't know. Thank you.
No, for all the praise. No, you have great style.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, whenever people ask me, you know, like, how do you describe yourself? I never know how to describe it. So I don't really know if I even know my sense of style. Like, I know, like, how I get dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very specific to, like, the colors.
Okay.
That I feel and want to wear.
Interesting. Okay.
And then there is, yeah. There is, I definitely, like, I feel like I mix eras a lot.
I can see that.
But I think it's just because I shop vintage so much.
Right.
That I just... That just inevitably happens because mm-hmm. a lot of my clothes are old, and then there's like a few pieces that are new. And then I feel like I'm a little bit nostalgic when I like pick pieces out to feel closer to people. Like I'm wearing my mom's scarf today.
Aww, that's beautiful.
And then, yeah, so I don't know. It's like.
So it truly is personal.
It is personal.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's, everything has a meaning to you.
Because,
like, you've either sourced it from a vintage store, it's your mom's.
Yeah, it is very personal. And it's. Because I'm really trying to not buy so much, you end up, like, finding new ways to wear things.
Yes, which is a very, like, French approach to dressing, right?
Yeah.
Like, French women always say that they only have a few things and they accessorize them differently.
Mm-hmm. And that's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just to, like, find a whole new way to wear your wardrobe.
I feel like a big takeaway from this episode, or at least that I'm getting from talking to you, is just, like, do more with less.
Yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. just kind of, like, pare back and have a more, like, minimal approach to everything.
Everything, yeah.
Beauty, style.
Yeah, like, go back to history a little. Like, go back to the way things were, rituals were originally created and, like, what they were originally used to do and the natural remedies and solutions to things when it comes to beauty, I think, is really helpful. And, like, yeah, do more with less. Like, do more with your own body.
Yeah.
Drink more water.
Yes.
Eat good food.
Yeah. You don't need to go spend hundreds of dollars to see a facialist.
No,
like,
yeah.
Literally just like drink more water for a week.
Yeah.
I promise your skin's going to look 10 times better.
Yeah. Sometimes we should try to like find solutions to things. We jumped over the basics.
Yes.
It's like, wait, what is it? Wait a second.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. There's something to be learned about knowing what you like and mm-hmm. what you feel comfortable in, mm-hmm. right? So I'm very curious for people like you that have really good style, was there ever a period where you look back and you were like, what was I doing? Or have you always kind of just like known, this is who I am, this is what I like, this is how I self-present?
I mean, there's definitely outfits that I've worn
okay,
that I'm like,
good.
What the hell?
So you're human.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But I mean, that's just, we all have that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I don't know. One day I was feeling like I wore black a lot when I moved to New York.
Yeah.
It's
easy to put on black.
Yeah. And I was like, I think 3 years ago was when I one of my like New Year's intentions or resolutions was not to buy another neutral piece. So I didn't buy another neutral for the next year.
I love that New Year's resolution. That's such a good one.
Yeah. And it's like, I love pairing colors together. Like, who said we couldn't do that?
I know. And you do such a good job with color, which is why I was asking, like, because I know that you're also an artist, right?
Yeah.
We haven't, like, even talked about that. Like, we could do, like, two more hours. You understand the relationship between color and emotion, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think for myself I do. And if it does represent the same for other people, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, color definitely influences my mood. It always has. I think just, like, from nature. I think that's where I got it from.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's, like,
I so
the colors in nature and being surrounded by, like, one color in nature and, like, how profound that feels.
Right.
Like, the glow of the sun at a certain hour of the day. Like,
whoa.
You know, like,
yeah.
We all have felt that.
Yeah.
So like, bringing that into other parts of your life, whether, like, your craft and painting or in what you wear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super beautiful.
That's like, yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. It's like one of the reasons why I love being in nature so much, because I feel like it inspired, like it spills over into the way I do my makeup or what I decide to wear.
Yeah.
Totally. One, we talked earlier about, you were asking me about why I started this podcast, and I kind of said that I wanted to have these like long form discussions with women. And one of the things that I think has been like the most profound about talking to women is this idea that not everything is all figured out and like we don't mm-hmm. have it all together. And there's a lot of media out that's like, look at this girl. She's so perfect. She gets to the gym every day and drinks green juice and has this killer job. And
yeah.
I've been talking to women a lot lately about, like, actually, some days I have breakdowns before I go into the office and tell everyone what to do. And actually, yeah. I, like, for me, like, I talk very openly on this podcast about how sometimes really late at night I'll, like, binge eat and I feel so guilty the next day. And I'm like, Brooke, like, what did you do? Like, you were so on top of everything and you just, like, undid it all to eat some, like, gross Twizzlers at the movies. Like, what? Why? Why have you done that?
Yeah.
But I think it's important. And people will message me and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I also just, like, ate an entire box of Oreos and, like, yeah. what's wrong with us? And I'll be like, I don't know, girl. Like, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm curious for you, do you find that there are enough examples of women, like, not getting it right? And is that something that you feel like you can, like, help add to in terms of the way that we talk about ourselves?
Yeah. I don't think there are enough examples. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Especially women who are, like, killing it. Like, the women who, like, we look up to and we may not know, like, mm-hmm. personally. I feel that a lot of the times, I think it's just because they have had to keep certain parts of their lives private to be able to make it.
Right.
Who are older than us at this point. That they're kind of still maintaining that storyline.
Yes.
And it's not helpful.
It's not helpful. Like, we get how you succeeded, but, like, also we want to know where you're failing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, in the past and the present. Yeah, for sure. I don't know if I'm very good at that either, though. I think that, like, my Virgo tendencies.
Oh, were you a Virgo?
Yeah.
Hello, perfectionist.
Yeah.
Hello, nothing's ever good enough.
me from doing that. Yeah. So I think I should probably work on that a little bit, too. Like, sharing those pieces.
Yeah, myself. You know, yeah. It's hard to do in a way that doesn't... So, like, a long-form podcast discussion, great. When I see it done in, like, an Instagram post, it feels very cheap. Like, when, like, I was talking about this post that I saw, it's, yeah, terrible for me to be laughing at this, but it was, like, someone was like, I've just been crying for, like, hours. And I was like, okay, it's just... But I think yeah. that actually stories...
Yeah.
Somehow Instagram stories feels more intimate mm-hmm. than, like, your actual posts, mm-hmm. and it feels like a good way to, like, talk about shit that you're dealing
yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there are some examples of people, like, our age doing that well. Yeah, like, my very good friend from high school just lost her mom recently, very suddenly, and she's been, like, grieving in this very open, honest, and, like, just vulnerable way.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and, like, with her and her close friends, but also she has a women's wear line, a sustainable women's wear line, actually, and that she produces and designs.
What's the name of her line?
Arkins.
Arkins? Okay, yeah. I'll link to it in the show notes
yeah,
so everyone can check it out.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So she actually makes every piece herself. So
wow.
when this happened, she was like, okay, I'm not going to be making pieces for
right.
a few weeks, and I had to share that with the people who are her buyers so that they knew. And
right.
had to figure out this way to, like, let people into her life because her
yeah.
brand is her life. And
right.
it's really beautiful and amazing. And that's just, I thought of that when you were talking about that. But I think there are people who are able to do it and bring people in. And I think that is the beauty of social media.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
that is what it should be doing.
Yep.
Is bringing people closer together in that way, not creating this, like, alienating facade of perfection.
I couldn't yeah. have said it better myself. That's yeah, this alienating facade of perfection.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we don't want. What yeah. we do want is, like, this intimacy and empathy
mm-hmm.
and, like, we're all just going through it and on our
yeah,
journey. Yeah.
Trying.
Totally. Okay. This is my last question for
okay.
real, for real.
Okay.
When do you feel most beautiful?
Oh, I feel most beautiful when I'm in touch with nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just thought back to a moment in Jamaica, actually, when I was kayaking, and then it was really warm out, but then it started pouring rain, and we kept kayaking, and we were just, like, surrounded by all the trees and the most beautiful water, and it's the most beautiful moment when you realize, like, how connected we are as all human beings, and mm-hmm. also connected with nature and how much we need to help it and protect it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I felt that. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for being
yes.
on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. Thank you so much. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.